Good morning, Oscar watchers. We're back to the old walking dog recording because I just can't do it any other way. It's great to be able to record on my podcast station at home, but that means I have to stop everything else I'm doing and record that. And the whole point of this was to get it done when I wasn't sitting at my computer. But, and I'm sure like three people out there listen to this overall. And two of those three people just wrote negative reviews on iTunes to say how much they hated it, how I sounded like I was smoking because I breathe, I'm breathing, and they don't like the dogs barking. They think it's unprofessional. There's that funny word again. No shit, it's unprofessional. I'm not really a professional. I never have been. Like it, don't like it. Listen, don't listen. It is what it is. I've got a lot going on. This is the best I can do. It helps me to be able to talk it out while I'm walking. And it's unfortunate because I know that it does sound distracting and weird, and my dogs probably don't like it too much to not have 100% attention focused on them. But it's really the only way I can make it work, otherwise I just won't do it. So if I see that people aren't listening at all, I'll just stop doing it. And that's no problem either. But I like the method of walking and thinking and talking better than I do sitting there staring at my mic. And if I have a script, I need to sit down and write the script. So this is the way it's got to be. I'm sorry, but it just is. I have a couple of things to talk about. The first is Costume Design Guild last night and the surprise win for Shape of Water over Phantom Thread. And then I want to talk about Call Me By Your Name, its popularity online, and why my poll that I've taken for the last 2 years, which has proven right, probably will not be right this year because of the way of the internet. You know, sometimes you have to factor that in. And when people are really invested in one movie, it can skew the results. So, and you know those movies, right? There's always that one that the internet loves. And it just so happened that that movie was Moonlight last year, and it won Best Picture. I don't think the internet really had a movie before that. But, I mean, before that year. It certainly wasn't The Revenant. Okay, so Shape of Water surprised and won the Costume Design Guild because people were shocked by it because Phantom Thread had won the Critics' Choice Award. So Phantom Thread was expected to win because the costumes are beautiful and they've been doing so much publicity around the costumes. I got a book, The House of Woodcock, which is nothing but the beautiful costumes. And they've had fashion shows, everything to showcase the gorgeous dresses in that movie that everybody knows. The whole movie's about that. It's about costuming. It's about fashion. But see, therein kind of lies the problem. Because my observations of the costumers over the years is that they're not really fashion-oriented, and that there is some sort of confusion there between people thinking costumes is about fashion and costume designers thinking it's not about fashion, that it's about art and it's about, you know, it's about character expression, it's about expression of story, it's about bringing you into a sense of place and getting to know who these people are by what they wear, though not as obvious and showy as Phantom Thread, which, you know, the dresses are, you know, they're like Edith Head. I mean, they make you gasp, but they're so beautiful. But in Shape of Water, it's easy to miss the intricacies involved in those costumes. For instance, just take Sally Hawkins' character, just a single character, and look at all the different ways that costumes express who she is, right? That's power of costume. Whereas in Phantom Thread, the costumes don't tell you who the people are. The costumes tell you who Woodcock is and what he thinks. So in Shape of Water, you find out that just from her costumes, you know so much about who Sally Hawkins is, you know what her economic status is. From what she wears in her ordinary life, her drab clothing of someone who doesn't make a lot of money and isn't showy and doesn't really think people are noticing her for her beauty, to her also equally drab work uniform, which tells you a lot. It's sort of drab and blends into the background. It's very clever in that sense. The colors are very similar to the colors on the walls. And that message is, don't pay any attention to who this is. And then finally, the fantasy sequence where she's wearing a ball gown, and it's definitely an expression of what she feels like when she's with that creature. So those things are what costume designers do. They tell you who people are by what clothes they choose to dress them in. It's an art, you know, and a craft, and they value that part of it. Because it, when it stands out to them, it doesn't stand out because beautiful. It stands out because it's an expression of who these characters are, and it's an expression of their perceptive ability to interpret the writing. They are part of the collaborative process. It's not much of a, even the stars in the costuming world, you know, people like Edith Head or whatever, even they, the costumes are beautiful, but they're also expressive of who a character is. One of the greatest, the costume designs in Vertigo, you know, you have Madeline, right? Madeline's been dressed by the husband of the actual Madeline, and really by Hitchcock, right? Because we know Hitchcock had such a huge part of deciding every specific thing about how Madeline looked. But contrast that with when she becomes herself, you know, when she's no longer Madeline, she's Judy, poor Judy. I'm forever Judy in life. I'll never be a Madeline, I'll always be a Judy. It's so sad. But Judy is like trashy, kind of classless, you know. She likes what she wears, but it's all, in Hitchcock's mind, it has to be tacky. So that's Hitchcock and Edith Head's version of tacky, right? Kim Novak proudly wore no bra, FYI, throughout that movie, and often bragged on set that she didn't need one. So every time I watch Vertigo, I think about that, and I go, like, why can I not stop thinking about that? But it's funny. She was a pioneer because, you know, in the 70s, if you watch 70s movies, nobody wears a bra because it was, like, female empowerment. It's really strange, though, to see so many, like, loose boobs in 70s movies. It's just something you don't see anymore. Women are totally bra'd up now. Tight bras, padded bras, you name it. So, yes, this is what one negative review on iTunes called rambling. Guilty as charged. I do ramble. I'm sorry. It's sort of the way my brain works. You like it, you don't. It's okay with me if you don't. So anyway, I think that the costume designers on Shape of Water did a really good job showing both what was going on at the time with Michael Shannon's nuclear family, the way that the wife was dressed, the way he was dressed. It's just a really subtle but intricate but very exacting expression of costumes in that movie. Not elaborate particularly, not noticeable, not like Beauty and the Beast. Of course, that's the other thing, you know. There was competition with these movies. It wasn't like, but Shape of Water, as it always seems to, kind of squeezed itself out as the winner in a split vote scenario, which it often does because it has such a passionate following. So people will wonder, well, will that repeat at the Oscars? So I did a quick look at the stat, and pretty evenly divided between films that didn't win Best Picture and won costume, like Anna Karenina, which won costume and nothing else, and films that did win costume that were Best Picture nominees. But in that case, Grand Budapest Hotel, Mad Max, Fury Road, The Artist, they also won other Oscars. Phantom Thread would be, though I still think it probably will win because it's a Best Picture nominee and because that's the only Oscar it can win and people will want to give it something, the chances of it being Shape of Water are pretty good just because of what the stats tell us, which is that if they like a movie, they really like a movie. And they give it everything. Grand Budapest is a really good example of that. And by the way, the only one of these that didn't win the Costume Design Guild was The Artist, and that went to WE, the Madonna movie. That's a really good example of something that I've seen throughout my years covering the Oscars, is the perception of what should win based on what people think, fans on the internet, and what professionals think, you know? And the professionals often look with bemusement at people who think that they know better, that they know what deserves to win, because they're fans, or because they're critics, or because they appreciate movies. But the professionals take their job seriously, and they value their own judgment, obviously. Why wouldn't they? I'm not gonna let some film critic tell them what deserves to win costume. That's laughable to them. And I know this. I mean, I've heard it from people, members, designers, and it just makes logical sense. So that brings us to Call Me By Your Name. It's a beautiful movie. A lot of people love it, but it's also one of those movies that the internet really, really like. But it's not just the internet. A lot of people like it. What I find is that there's a lot of times movie fandom follows like a tree, sort of like who's at the top of the tree and the people that are branches on that tree. So, like, if one person who's prominent on the internet loves Call Me By Your Name more than anything else, or any movie, there's a pretty good chance that that person's followers or readers are going to sort of adopt that film and love it too, you know? This was something I noticed very, very early on, and it was always difficult when I liked a movie that they didn't and they liked a movie that I didn't, my readers I'm talking about, and it caused a lot of problems. Every so often there was unity, but it was rare. A good example of that was Fellowship of the Ring versus A Beautiful Mind, and it wasn't that I particularly liked A Beautiful Mind more, but actually I did. That's the truth. But the internet and my readers were very into Fellowship. But it still wasn't going to win Best Picture. It didn't matter how many of them loved it. But I don't think Call Me By Your Name is that. It has too many people that like it across all spectrums. However, if that was the case of the industry, wouldn't it have won more than it has? Wouldn't it have won places it could have won, like the BAFTA? It doesn't have a directing nomination. There are many places it could have won. It did win the Gotham. And I know it would shock the hell out of everybody if it won on Oscar night. And if I was being faithful to my poll, which I haven't finally counted, but I've noticed the presence of Call Me By Your Name enough that it's going to thwart the result, so that I will not be able to use that poll unless I take that movie out. But that's not really an accurate read of the poll. It will be really funny to me if Call Me By Your Name somehow pulls out a total shocker win. It'll just crack me up, because it really will prove the poll to be ironclad. Against all odds. And it's a great movie to win. I have no problem with that. As I've said many times before, Lady Bird Stalkers notwithstanding, any movie that wins is going to be a good movie because they're all really good this year. You know, they're well represented across the board with lots of different stories being told. And I mean, we have an LGBT film, we have a film by a woman about a teenage girl, you know, we have Get Out. Phantom Thread, I mean, we really do have a lot of In the Shape of Water, fantasy, beautiful. What I think is incredible about Three Billboards is that it's being driven by a strong female lead. And that is so rare. But Frances McDormand breaks all the rules. She's like nothing we've ever seen in the movies. And I appreciate that so much. And if it wins, I'm going to be blown away. Yes, they'll be caterwauling on the internet. Yes, people will be angry. God, I can't even imagine how angry they will be. But it's a worthy winner. So is Get Out. I haven't decided between the two yet. So I don't know what's going to happen, my friends. This Oscar race is very mysterious to me and surprising. But I would say that it's a pretty good indicator that a lot of us seem to think we know what's going on, but we don't really. All of our stories have changed about the Oscar race throughout the whole year. You know, it is what it is, just like this podcast is what it is. And I apologize if it doesn't sound up to snuff, but it really is supposed to be just kind of off the cuff in the morning when I'm out walking my dogs. It's an unusual way to do a podcast, I know, but I simply don't have the time to go home, sit down, record a podcast on my podcast studio when I have that over the weekend with Ryan, Marshall, and Jazz. I will be probably doing a podcast, a more professional podcast, on my own a bit later that will be scripted, but that's going to be long after the Oscars are over. That's all I got to say. Thank you for listening, whoever is, and if you find it in your heart to show me some mercy, please write a review on iTunes that isn't, you hate Lady Bird and you're a horrible person, do you smoke? That would be great, because it would give me a motivation to keep going. Otherwise, I'm going to assume that everybody agrees with those two commenters, and this is kind of pointless. Okay, bye!